In one of his books, Bill Bunite, Pastor Bill Bunite, writes about being in a restaurant. And he was sitting very close to a mom and a son who looked about 6 years old or so. And he said the son was always obviously very, very uncomfortable. And he was squirming and moving all over the place. And finally, he asked this question loud enough for pretty much the whole restaurant to hear. And he asked this deep theological question, "Mom, why did God invent underwear?" Now, Pastor Bill said I had never heard that question asked in seminary, and I can't think of a single scripture verse to help me with that. But young people, young children might be surprised that it's not just them that has these kinds of questions. Adults have them too. We have, sometimes they're kind of superficial, like, you know, God, why couldn't you have created men and women to think a little more alike? And sometimes they're a bit more in depth. Sometimes they're more emotional types of questions that we have. How can we keep on going when life breaks our hearts? How can we survive significant loss in our lives? How can we cope with the grief that we experience sometimes? And we have to understand that grief doesn't play by the rules. Grief doesn't wait until an appropriate time to come into our lives. So it's very difficult to deal with it. It's unwelcome. It shows up whenever it wants. And sometimes it's at a time that we think is inconvenient. So we try to keep that grief inside in a secret place in our hearts. And then we're out in public somewhere and it rears its ugly head. And we find ourselves in pain and acting emotionally in public, and we don't like it. Grief is always and forever will be inconvenient. I doubt there's a single person here who has ever at any point in their life said, "Okay, grief, I'm ready, bring it on. Take my loved one, take my job, break up my relationship, take my finances, have the church hurt me, have my church go through conflict and turmoil. I'm ready for it, God. Bring it on." I don't think any of us have ever said that. And yet grief comes anyway. It's important that we understand how grief works. How do we handle grief when it comes in our lives? Because it's not a matter of if you ever experience grief. It's a matter of when, and what will we do with it, and how will we get through it. And I think the scriptures, as always, give us some incredible guidelines, some critical information about how do we handle grief when it comes. First of all, we have to understand that grieving is a choice. Now, notice what I didn't say there. I didn't say grief is a choice. I said grieving is a choice. Grief is going to happen. When you have a loss, grief is going to happen. There's no way to avoid it. Losses are unavoidable in our lives, and grief is unavoidable in our lives. But grieving, the process of working through that grief, is a choice. We choose, will I deal with this grief or will I not? We can't just stop it. We can't deny it. We can't pretend that it's not there. Some people try to go through these losses, this grief, without ever grieving it. And that's a big mistake because there is no life without change, and there's no change without losses. And there's no losses without grief. And we need to learn how do we deal with it. And we must deliberately choose to deal with pain. I remember there was a church in Regina, and the pastor, whenever he did a funeral, would always start off with these words, "This is not a time for grief. This is not a time for sadness." This person is now in heaven, and so we rejoice. But that's not accurate, is it? If the person is a believer, then yes, we have joy and we rejoice. But there's also that grief. Paul, the Apostle Paul, never said we don't grieve. He said we don't grieve as those who have no hope. So I went to a funeral in this church, and it was a sad. I was sad. This was a 32-year-old man. In the middle of the night, his wife said she had a headache and was going to go sleep on the couch, and he woke up in the morning, and she was dead. 30 years old. So I came up to him at the funeral, and I said, and I called him by name, and I said, I'm so sorry about care. And this is how he responded to me, and he was a big man, bigger than me, this big, loud voice. Hey, brother, this is no time for grief. This is a time for joy. Give me a hug. Well, I couldn't even put my arms around. I was like this. I'm sorry, friends, but when your 30-year-old wife dies suddenly, that is an inappropriate response. And so this man, and ended up, he went through some really big difficulties because he was trying to stuff his grief. We cannot stuff it. There's this interesting story in John chapter 5. Most of you know it. And Jesus comes to this man who's sitting beside a pool. The man has been disabled for 38 years. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have thought Jesus walks up to him, 38 years is enough, you're healed, goodbye. But Jesus didn't do that, did he? He came and he asked this what appears to be an incredibly bizarre question. He comes and says to him, do you want to be well? What? Do you want to be well? I've been disabled for 38 years. Of course I want to be well. But Jesus was saying that you have a choice. But there needs to be a want to in our spirit, a want to in our will that says, yes, I want to. It's not just obvious. You see, that man could have decided that I'll stay healed, unhealed forever. And sadly, many people make that choice. I discovered this often as a counselor. Counseling people who have been in pain for decades, literally decades. But they didn't want to get well. Because at least the pain was familiar. They knew how to live in the pain. They didn't know how they would live if they were healed. And so he had to answer that question. Now, fortunately, this man said yes. And so it said, when Jesus said, take up your mat and walk, what did the man do? He responded. And he bent down and he took up his mat and he walked. Think about that for a moment, beloved. This man has been crippled for 38 years and Jesus says, take up your mat and walk. And he does it. And he walks away. So my question for us this morning is, how long has it been? How long has it been for you? I don't know what you've been struggling with, but I know this for sure. It's time to take up your mat and walk. Or it's time to take up your mat and cry. Or it's time to take up your mat and drive to church. Or it's time to take up your mat and go help someone else. Or it's time to take up your mat and pray a prayer of surrender to do whatever it is that you need to do to walk on that path toward healing. Beloved, it is time for you to pick up your life and to experience all that God has for you. But in order to do that, sometimes we are taken in these places that are out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we move into places that we don't really want to be. Because we're grieving, because working out that grief is so painful. And one of the things that I think all human beings want to avoid is pain. I don't know about you, but if I was ever in the army and I was captured, and they said, tell us what you know or we'll pull out your fingernails, I'd tell them. No problem, here you go. I'll tell you whatever you want to know, because I don't like pain. And so because we don't like pain, we decide I'm going to keep it buried within. I'm not going to grieve. I'm just going to get on with my life. I'm just going to kind of deny that it ever happens. But grieving, healthy grieving, is absolutely essential for you to move forward. And so we make this choice. I'm experiencing this grief in my life, but will I do the grieving that I need to do to deal with it? And that's a choice that we each of us have to make. The other thing we see in the scriptures that we read earlier is that grieving is healthy. It's not unhealthy to grieve your pain, to grieve your losses. In fact, it's really the only healthy choice to make when we've experienced significant loss in our life. And again, it could certainly be the loss of a loved one, a death of someone that we care about. But it isn't always that that's grieving. Sometimes it's the loss of a job, a career. I have worked with many couples that are discovered that there's infertility in their relationship. And they have to deal with that grief, the loss of an engagement, financial problems, any kinds of things. When I left the government and went into ministry, I was working as an addiction treatment supervisor in an addiction treatment center, and I loved working with drunks and druggies. I loved the staff that I did it with. But I answered the call of God, and I went into vocational ministry. And about 2 months later, I found myself in this deep, deep grieving. And I didn't understand it because I was obeying God. But I went and talked to a friend of mine. I discovered what I was grieving was the loss of this job that I loved. That was my choice. And the loss of working with these people that I loved. And so even a good thing like that, obeying God and going into ministry, can still create that grieving in our lives. And perhaps it's true that the most painful emotion that we can go through in life is grief. And so we avoid it because, like I said, we don't like pain, but it's also an incredibly helpful emotion. It's a tool that God gave us to help us to get through the pain in our life, to help us get through the losses in life. And if we don't grieve our losses, then we end up getting stuck. We get stuck right there, and then we experience anxieties and phobias and fears because we haven't grieved well. Jesus grieved, as we saw in the reading. He was a man acquainted with sorrows, the Bible tells us. His friend Lazarus died. And it says that when Jesus saw Mary, Lazarus' sister, weeping, and the Jews who had come with her, he also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and greatly troubled. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. God incarnate wept. He suffered the loss of this friend, and yet he wept with the pain that he felt. Sadness is not a weakness. Being sad and grieving is not a weakness. We can't equate weakness and grieving, or weakness and sadness, or weakness and sorrow. They're not the same thing. I would say this, the stronger that we are, the more mature that we are as believers, the more that we are able to deal with that pain and in a way that is healthy for us. Grief is God's gift for getting us through the transitions of life. But it's so important that we learn to do it in healthy ways. Because you know what? If we don't deal with it in healthy ways, you know how we are going to deal with it? In unhealthy ways. And that creates all the more difficulties. So we have to understand that grieving is a choice, but it is a healthy choice. We also see in the scriptures that grieving is healed in community. Now, if what you're grieving in life is the fact that you've been hurt in the church, or that you've lived through pain in the church, conflict and turmoil and trauma, then how in the world do you get healing in community when it's the community that hurt me? That the community is kind of almost like the source of my grieving. It's the source of my pain. So now how do I deal with that? And there is no easy way. All I can say is that it's so important for us to take the risk and to either remain in or return to community. I shared with you last week how I was hurt in a church. And I resigned from that church, and my final day was May the 6th, 2001. Do you know how long it took me to go back to church? May 13th, 2001. I went back the following week, not to that church, obviously, but to another church, because let me tell you something that I've learned in the years that I've been a Christian. I need the church. With all of its imperfections, for all of its flaws, for all of its failures, I need the church. And you say, well, of course you'd say that. You're a pastor. And I would say, no, I'm a pastor because I believe I need the church. And although it maybe ought not to be true, we are going to be hurt by the church often. I'm sorry to say it, but we just are. I love my wife. There's not a human being on earth I love as much as my wife. If you were to say to her, does Dan ever hurt you? What do you think she would say? No. Of course no. She'd say, yeah, he hurts me far more than I like. And yet I love this woman, and we love each other in the body of Christ, but we still do crazy things and dumb things and hurtful things sometimes. And so we still have to return or remain in our community. It is so much harder for us to get well on our own. We're better together. We need each other. As flawed as we are sometimes, we need each other. God made us to be in community. God made us to be in relationship. God created us to love God, but also to love others. And we need people in our life. We need community. Fellowship is what we need when we're sad, when we're grieving. We need to be around people. We need other people around us. Galatians 6:2, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. So what does that mean? It means when I'm in pain, you help me carry my burdens. When you're in pain, I help you carry your burdens. When you're hurting, I'm there. When I'm hurting, you're there. That's what it means. I remember when I was in high school, I lived in Calgary. We used to go backpacking in the mountains quite a bit. But we usually only took people with us that we knew, that they really knew how to backpack. But we finally, one guy was really after us, so we finally agreed to let him come. And we had walked probably, we would usually get dropped off at a point and then get picked up somewhere 4 or 5 or 6 days later. And we had walked about a half a mile. And this guy said, this new guy, I can't go any further. What? What do you mean you can't? No, I just can't. My pack's too heavy. So I said, well, let me try it. And I could hardly lift it. To go backpacking, he had brought 19 cans of chuck wagon dinner. You don't do that when you're backpacking. So what did we do? I carried the pack for a while, and he carried mine. And then somebody else carried it, and he carried theirs. And that's how we did it. We bore that burden, all of us, until he ate enough of those chuck wagon dinners that he could do it himself. We bore one another's burdens. And that's what we do in the body of Christ. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Another version says it this way, when others are happy, be happy with them. If they're sad, share their sorrow. That's what we're called to do, beloved. We're called to share one another's sorrows. I will help you carry that load. You don't have to do it alone. I will be there with you. And sometimes you carry that just by being with them. You don't say a word. You go and you just sit with them. So we understand that grieving has to be a choice. It's a healthy choice. We recognize that it's done in community. And we understand that grieving is a process. We don't grieve overnight. We don't grieve in a short period of time. It doesn't happen overnight. It isn't like we can experience a great loss in our life and say, okay, I'm going to give this a few days, and then I'm back at it. That's not the way it works. It has its own timetable. Grief has its own timetable. We can't rush it. And here's a truth that I think we have to learn, friends. We don't get over grief. We get through it. We don't get over grief. We get through it. There are losses in your life that you will never fully get over. There are losses that you've experienced that you will never fully recover from. But you can get through it. You can get through it. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 4. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. In other words, what's Solomon saying? He's saying that there are cycles to life. And we know that. We have good days. We have bad days. There's a time that we weep, and there's a time that we rejoice. There's a time when we experience sadness and mourn, and there's a time when we dance and party. Unless you're Alliance, then you don't do that. But there's a time that we dance and we rejoice. You see, both grief and sorrow and pain and rejoicing and dancing are two sides of the same coin called life. And we work through that process. They're both legitimate parts of life. And maturity comes or is recognized when we freely live out both. When I'm free to experience and acknowledge and feel my pain, and I'm free to rejoice with the best of them. That's called Christian maturity. I believe that one of the things that we don't know how to do very well as Christians is what the Bible calls lament, where basically we don't recognize that we can't get past our pain until we acknowledge it, until we accept it, until we feel it. And so lament says that we cry out to God, that we actually complain to God. Complaining about God is blasphemy. Complaining to God is transparency. God, I just don't know where to go from here. We take them our complaints. We tell them exactly how we feel. Isn't that what David did so often? Where are you, God? We saw it last week in Psalm 55. When I knock on the door, God, you got to be there. I need to be with you. I need to see you. I need you to heal me. And so finally, perhaps the most healing thing about all of these things is that God grieves with us. In fact, the ability to grieve actually comes from God. He's an emotional God. He has emotions. And we're made in his image. So when we say, you know what, I'm not going to grieve that. It's no big deal. I can just move on. I'm just going to put my head down and keep doing the stuff I got to do and keep it inside. We're really denying one of the things that makes us human. God not only gave us the ability to grieve, he actually grieves with us. When we're suffering, we're in pain. Never let us think that God is aloof, standing off at the distance and kind of saying, oh boy, I wish I could help that person. He's not standing on the sideline of our life, watching us and thinking, oh man, damn, why don't you just pull up your socks and get over it? Come on, you've been grieving for a week already. God isn't like that. God is there with us. He's not distant. He's not uncaring. He's not, like I said, he's not on the sidelines somewhere. He actually enters into our grief with us. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and to the crushed in spirit. In your pain, beloved, remember this, three words. God is near. Now, you may feel that God is a million miles away. But God is saying to you, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It doesn't say be still and know why. There are things that are happening in our lives that we may never, ever understand. We may never get the answer on this side of heaven. I told you several months ago that I was healed of a brain tumor. No surgery, no nothing. My little daughter, our little daughter, 10 months old, went through skull and brain surgery. To this day, I don't know why. Why didn't God make me go through the surgery? And this beautiful little girl, who is absolutely healthy now, why didn't he get heal her supernaturally like he did me? So we don't get all the why answers when we're grieving. We don't get all the why answers. Just think of Job, all the questions that Job asked God in the book. And here was God's answer. I am God. Is that enough for us, beloved? Is it enough that he is God? In our pain, to know that he is there. And I know for certain that some of you here this morning are brokenhearted. And it may be that your heart was wounded this week or this month or in the last year or two. But perhaps your heart was wounded a long, long time ago. Please understand this morning that God is with you. He's near, he's close to the brokenhearted. He is there with us. He is as close to you as he can possibly get. And sometimes what we have to do is tune into him. And say, God, I know by faith that you're here. Please help me to see that you are near. Grieving is a choice. We have to choose to embrace it. If we stuff it, if we deny it, then we're going to live an unhealthy life. Our healing begins when we choose to grieve. Because grieving is healthy. In fact, it's our only healthy response to loss. Let us remember that grief is healed in community, even if our hurts originate in that community. It's still important for us to be in community with God and with other believers. Grieving takes time. Doesn't happen overnight. But remember this, God is always with us. He always grieves with us. We are never, ever alone.